Jessica Au, Cold Enough for Snow. The fabrics were hanging in a long room, such that you could look at all of them at once, or each on its own. Some were small, but some were so large that their tails draped and ran over the floor like frozen water, and it was impossible to imagine them being worn or hanging in any room but this one. Their patterns were at once primitive and graceful, and as beautiful as the garments in a folk tale. Looking at the translucency of the overlapping dyes reminded me of looking upwards through a canopy of leaves. They reminded me of the seasons and, in their bare, visible threads, of something lovely and honest that had now been forgotten, a thing we could only look at but no longer live. I felt at the same time mesmerised by their beauty and saddened at this vague thought. I walked across the room many times and waited in the room for my mother. When she did not appear, I went and explored the rest of the house alone, and, in the end, found her waiting for me outside, sitting on the stone bench next to the stand where I had clipped our umbrellas. I asked her if she had seen the fabrics, and she said that she had seen a little of them, but had become tired, so was waiting for me here. I wanted for some reason to speak more about the room and what I had felt in it, that strange keenness. Wasn't it incredible, I wanted to say, that once there were people who were able to look at the world, leaves, trees, rivers, grass, and see its patterns, and even more incredible that they were able to find the essence of those patterns and put them to cloth. But I found I could not. Instead, I said that one of the rooms on the top floor, which looked down into the garden and across into the trees, had been designed for contemplation. You could slide open the window and sit at the narrow desk and watch the stones or the trees or the sky. Maybe it's good, I said, to stop sometimes and reflect upon the things that have happened. Maybe thinking about sadness can actually end up making you happy. That night we went to a restaurant in a tiny little street near the railway line. I took us by a route along the canal, which I thought might be nice at that time of evening. The buildings around us were dark, and the trees dark and quiet. Plants grew on the steep walls of the canal, trailing downwards, and the water gave a shaking, delicate impression of the world above. Along the street, the restaurants and cafes had turned on only low, dim lights, like lanterns. Though we were in the middle of the city, it was like being in a village. This was one of the experiences I liked most about Japan, and like so many things, it was halfway between a cliché and the truth. It's beautiful, I said, and my mother smiled, but it was impossible to tell if she agreed.